pray. Heavenly Father, we just come and ask that what you want us to hear today is what we will hear. And Father, that your word won't be just for this occasion now, but something that we can carry away with us, something that we can apply in our lives, and so that you get the glory and you get the praise. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just wanting for us to think about being content. We don't live in a world that's content. Everything that's going on politically is very often just discontent. If you take the Ukraine, it's all because of President Putin's discontent and wanting more, that the war is going on there. And then President Trump gets into office and he says he wants Panama. He wants Greenland. And he wouldn't mind Canada either. And, well, Gaza, when he gets rid of the Palestinian people, it can be a holiday destination. When you think of every conflict in the world, it's to do with discontent. People want something that somebody else owns or has a responsibility for. And I was reading through Philippians and just looking here, and something that Paul said in verse 11 of the passage we had read to us. I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. Whatever state I'm in, whatever position I'm faced with, to be content. And when you think of Paul's life, because I was reading in Philippians, I looked back and I thought of the passage in the Acts of the Apostles where Paul and Silas were in prison in Philippi. They'd been beaten. They'd been thrown in the deepest dungeon. But they sang praises unto God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. And there's something there that it's hard to get hold of. But it comes out of a contentment. They were content to know, or Paul was content, and Silas caught the contentment. Content to know that God's hand was upon him, even though he'd been mistreated. Whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And he'd learned it. It didn't just happen. It's because he took every situation to the Lord. And as he opened his heart and expressed his need, he found that peace. The peace that passes understanding. And he knew what it was to be abased and to abound. He knew what it was to have nothing. And he knew what it was to have more than he needed. And he knew what to do with it. So he was constantly going out of being abased and abounding. Because he was living in a needy world. And he was reaching out in that world. The Philippian people who he was writing to were concerned that there'd been times that they couldn't actually do what was on their heart to do for Paul. When he was in Macedonia, they met his needs. In other ministry areas, they couldn't get to him. But he said God was with him. Now, when I went for my interview to go to Bible school, it was a lovely sunny day, not like today, but a really bright day, like Friday, I suppose. And they had the interview on the lawn at the back of the Bible school. And there were about 12, 15 very influential people sitting round in a circle, and I was in the middle at one end. And they were firing questions at me, asking me what my heart was and everything. And one man said, how are you going to finance your three-year course at Birmingham Bible Institute? And I said, well, and I just learned this verse. There's a verse in Philippians that says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And that's how I'm going to finance my course. So they looked a bit aghast. And then they said, we want you to leave us for a little bit and we'll call you back. So I left and twiddled my thumbs somewhere. And then they called me back and said, we've considered your application and you can come if you have the fees for the term at the when you're due to start. Well, I'd put myself in it, hadn't I? I'd said, my God's going to supply my needs. And they took me up on it. Well, I didn't get the final fees until the Sunday night before I was due to start on the Monday morning. So I went along and I had my fees and I paid my fees and I had £60 to last me 10 weeks. Well, in 1959, £60 was a lot of money. But my God did supply my needs. And you know, he's been doing it ever since. Because he's faithful to his word. And he's not dependent upon how much Bill O'Leary's got in his bank account, but according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And you know, that brings a bit of stress sometimes, because what I've found is God is never early. But he's always on time. Never been late. When we've needed it, it's arrived. I can remember one time in Australia, the British Post Office had been on strike for 12 weeks. And when they went back to work, the Australian Post Office went on strike. And that was for another 12 weeks. Didn't know it when it was going on. But we didn't have any money coming in because the people who were sending money couldn't get through. There was no mail. And that's the only way we could get money in the mail. or the promise of it. And so I can remember for 2 weeks of that time, we had porridge, 3 meals a day, because there was some free meal wheat in the print shop, and there was a grinder, and you could go and grind your wheat and mix your porridge up, and we had it 3 meals a day. God supplied our needs, and we learned how to be abased, and we learned the benefit of trusting him. But you know, we learned to be content. In the second reading in Timothy, it speaks of a different aspect of contentment. What would make you content today? Would having food and clothing be sufficient? Oh no, we want more than that. We've got to have this and we've got to have that. There's lots of things that we want. But in Timothy, Paul writes to him and says, be content with what you have. Be content with what you need. Contentment. And then in Hebrews, another passage there, that in Hebrews 13, it talks about contentment with such things as you have. Now, I remember being in a supermarket, and there were a couple just in front of me, and they were going around the shelves, and the fellow dropped something in their trolley, and his wife said, what do we need that for? And he said, it's on the telly. The telly says I want it. We need it. So it's in the trolley. And there are pressures all around us, aren't there? What do we need? We need just the basics, really. But we like the frills, the extras, and they're nice, but they don't bring contentment. Somebody was talking to me yesterday, and the parent said, when I die, you'll have all this. And his response was, not the curtains. He'd been fed up with the curtains. He'd had them all his life. But it's being content with what we've got. Contentment. Because discontent brings strife, causes covetousness. We covet the things that we don't deserve. We cover the things that are not our right to have. And so being content, I've come to realize, is one of those things that is very, very important for us all. Not striving for this or striving for that. Not striving to have a better car, a bigger car, or whatever else it might be. But the one I've got now. And my prayer is that the Lord will keep it going. I can remember a couple of occasions, one in New Zealand when a fellow had said, come on, let's get in your car and we'll go up and I'll show you some sights. So we got in my car and we went off. And the carburetor got blocked. So I took it apart. But as I was taking it apart, I was a bit careless. And a spring went boom. And right in some long grass. I couldn't find it. So I prayed over it. Put it together again. And the carburetor went, after it had been cleaned, without the spring. And it went for 2 weeks without the spring. So I don't know what it was there for. But at the same time, it was that trust in the Lord. And you know, that's what God wants from each one of us today. To trust him where we can't see. To trust him when things aren't going right. When things are going the wrong way round. But we have somebody who we can trust. And Paul was so confident that he could say to the Philippians, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory, not yours. Not what you've earned. And in Timothy, it also said that the love of money can be one of the roots of evil. Because you put your that becomes your focus instead of God being your focus. I want this. I want more money. But that seems to be the focus of politicians all over the place. But the love of money is the root of evil. The love, we need it. And that was one of the other things that struck me as well. Being content. And the scripture says that the people saw in religion a means of bettering themselves. Now, I was talking to somebody from a very well-known church, and he said, there's more business done after the service on a Sunday than there is at any other time. More people go to church to meet the people who they can work with or they can get some work done by than they go to church to worship God. They see religion as a gain instead of saying, religion is a focus on God, putting God first. Remember when Jesus went into the temple? He was very upset. He turned the money changers' tables over because the people in power said, you can't use the money you use every day. You've got to use the temple money, and we set the exchange rate. And so the people couldn't afford to worship because the rates were so high. And the poorer people were the ones that suffered. And isn't it interesting that Mary and Joseph offered the lowest sacrifice possible when they were giving thanks for the birth of Jesus? The turtle doves. But when you look at the life of Jesus, there's that contentment, even though he knew that he'd come to this earth to die in our place, to die for the world, because he was focused on God's will. I went to Bible school in 1959. And you know, since that time, over and over again, we've faced different things. And we've always found that God supplies all our needs. Whether it's the airfare to go to a country and preach the gospel, whether it's some situation most recently on the 4th of January in 2024, we were flooded out. And the fire brigade came to rescue us. We didn't need them, but they came. And they got us into their boat and got us to sit down, but they didn't tell us it was full of water. So we had an uncomfortable ride to some dry ground. And then we had to go and book in a hotel. The insurance hadn't turned up with any information for us or anything. And so we, on our own bat, booked into Tewkesbury Park Hotel. Well, that was too expensive for the insurance. So they said we could only stay there for a week. And then we moved. We moved six times in all. And on four occasions, we had to get out of where we were staying, and the insurance hadn't arranged for us to go anywhere else. But we were in God's hands. And by nightfall, we had somewhere to go. And we stayed in five different places. And we got home in the July. We were out for 6 months. And God blessed us. God kept us. God provided for us. And I know Maggie won't mind me sharing this, but one of the things that was a shock when we were sort of back home, we'd been in the house 3 days, and Maggie got the diagnosis that she had a cancer that needed an operation. That was being abased. You know, we were on a high, we got home, we didn't quite like the way it was, but we were on a high, we were home. And then suddenly, plump. The operation was in September, and then after the operation, which was successful, they said to Maggie, how are things going? Are there any problems? And she said, my knee's still hurting. I said, what do you mean? Well, she said, I was due to have an operation on my knee, but the cancer came, and so they operated on my cancer. But the cancer wasn't hurting. But my knee's still hurting. And the people who she was talking to did something and contacted the powers that be. And within a matter of weeks, she had the first operation on her first knee. Then 6 weeks after she'd recovered from that, the hospital telephoned and said, we've been given some money from the government and your name's come up, so we're going to send you to a private hospital in Bristol to have your other knee worked on. And that's been done. And 4 weeks ago, they operated on Maggie. And now she's walking without a stick. I'm having trouble to keep up with her. But you see, it's God at work. Because we can trust him. Do you trust him? Are you trusting him? Or are you looking and saying, this is too big, but you're forgetting God. And nothing is too big for him. In Ephesians 13, verse 5, it says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? It's God's word that we trust in. And it's lovely when I'm content. It's terrible when I'm not content and I'm worried about this, worried about that. In a tiz was over something else or upset because of something somebody said. But all the time, the Lord doesn't change. and hasn't changed. And if he can look after Bill O'Leary for all these years. I was 19 when I went to Bible school. On Thursday, I'll be 85. And you know, he's supplied all our needs. And if he can do it for me, he's just itching to do it for you. Because he loves you. Because you're special to him. Very special. And your name is written in the book of life. Lord bless you. The Lord watch over you. And the Lord bring some challenge into your life where you need to trust him and find contentment. Amen.